All right, very good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listener. It's a very cold Wednesday morning. So how is the weather like in your area? So it's a cold Wednesday. So and thank you for joining us. Thanks for tuning in your number one talk radio station. So hopefully we're gonna pump up your morning, make it a bit warmer here on Unpacking at the Day. So good morning. So on time is 2 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock, and so thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this cold morning. So welcome. To this edition of Unpacking the Day this morning. So my name is Michael Chiavelli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday we cut through the noise to make sense of the day, of the big day, of the big stories, big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning to you, and welcome, and thanks for joining us. So wherever you find yourself, make sure that, and those of you maybe on the road, you know, taking your little one to schools, or you're getting to work, make sure that you are very you are cautious as you drive, and also you're taking care of your driving as well. Make sure that you're careful. You know, we want you to arrive safe wherever you're going, wherever you're driving to. So yeah, good morning. And as usual, we start with on this day in Africa. We're looking at what happened on this day in Africa. Yeah, maybe before we get there. So how is your experience? Actually, how is your World Cup? How is your World Cup going so far? So yeah, yesterday we have two of the African team. What was it? Senegal and Algeria. So they were all beaten. They suffered defeat. I think Senegal could have actually done better. I think they could have done better. I didn't like the formation. Mane could have actually, you know, if he was 4-3-3, it didn't work for them. I think they should have actually probably maybe put Mane on, what is it? He played better coming from, you know, from the wing. I mean, from the wing. Yeah, so, and I think he would actually, chances that has been missed could have actually taken them, some of those ones. So, yeah, they were not clinical enough in the first half. They could have actually survived. I think they could have survived. So there were quite good opportunities they could have scored. Yeah, so the other team that was also, it was late at night, was it Algeria? Algeria, I think, beaten by Argentina, in which actually Messi has a hat trick. Yeah, so, yeah, I think he's the leading scorer at the moment. Yeah, so, all right, so today we have DRC Congo, DRC Congo. Let's see what they will do against Portugal this evening. So I'm looking forward to that one. So, but otherwise, how's your World Cup? How's your World Cup is doing? Is your favorite team actually doing good? So welcome. So let's start one. Let's look at welcome to this segment. You're listening to On This Day in Africa on Eagle FM. Now today is June 17th. Today is June 17th. So let's take a look at the moment that shaped this day across the continent and around the world. So our first story takes us back to South Africa in 1976. If you remember yesterday, the day before June the 16th, a student in Soweto had marched against unfair school rules under the apartheid government. So, well, on June 17th, the unrest didn't stop. It actually spread. So thousands of students and residents continued their protest across Soweto and other townships. So the police and security forces responded with massive force, leading to more tragic deaths and injuries. So those 2 days in June were a major turning point. They were really a major turning point. They changed the fight against apartheid forever and opened the eyes of the world, sparking global anger against the South African regime, the South African apartheid regime. So yeah, and now let's fast forward exactly 15 years to June 17, 1991. South Africa was taking a massive step toward equality now. On this day, the South African Parliament officially voted to scrap the Population Registration Act. You know, the Population Registration Act, this was the law that forced every South African to be classified by race from birth. You know, getting rid of this law meant the last major building block of apartheid was finally, you know, torn down. And next, we moved to Rwanda in 1994. The country was in the middle of a horrific genocide. But on this day, there was a glimmer of hope. Tutsis rebels fighting with the Rwandan Patriotic Front broke through government defense lines in the capital city of Kigali. Now, their goal to rescue people. They successfully reached and saved about 600 refugees who were trapped in the crossfire. So, and finally stepping outside of history and into the present, June the 17th is also known globally as Desertification and Drought Day. So today is Desertification and Drought Day. The United Nations set this day to remind us how important our land is. So it's a time to learn about how we can stop fertile land from turning into desert and how to recover from severe drought. Excuse me. So, which is actually a challenge that many communities right here in Africa and in Namibia face every day. So, well, that's all for our look back today. And thanks for turning into On This Day in Africa. We will catch you next time. So, and a very good man, 10 minutes past the hour of 8. And let's look at what today's thought. Today's thought comes from a simple and powerful proverb. Even the elephant start as a calf. Even elephants start as a calf baby, as a baby of the elephant. So, now, the largest animal on the land didn't begin like, you know, it didn't begin life as a giant. The elephant, it didn't just, boom, it's an elephant. No, it started small, took one step at a time, and grew over the years. So the same is true for our dreams. It's the same for our careers and our businesses and even our personal growth. So we often look at success people and we often look at successful people and think they achieve everything overnight. But behind every successful story is a beginning, a first day, a first step, a first attempt, and often many mistakes along the way. So if you are starting something new today, so if maybe you are starting something new today, don't be discouraged because you are not where you want to be yet, okay? So every expert was once a beginner. Every giant was once small. So keep moving forward, keep learning, keep growing. And one day you may look back and realize how far you have come. So that's your thought for the day. Great things don't start great. They start small. All right. So 12 minutes, past the hour of 8. Looking forward to today, looking at what we can, you and I can discuss. The Villager, the Wednesday edition is out. So, and if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, please get yourself a copy, get yourself a free copy. It's a free copy of the Villager. You know what you need to do. You're just sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to subscribe, and you send it to 0812414144. 0812414144. So if you are new here, if this is your first time, so the Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you subscribe today so that you get your free copy on for our Friday edition. So yeah, so our first story that we're gonna look at, it's what making the front page of the Villager today. So Namco has officially backed the government's decision to award Vitol a 3-month bulk fuel monopoly, you know, framing, so Namco now framing the move as a commercially sound strategy to stabilize its own finances and ensure national energy security. So that is the story that we're going to follow this morning. And yesterday we missed out on the study that I wanted us to look at as well. Parliamentary inquiry is underway to address the mounting debt burden on Namibian civil servant and the role of the microlenders in the current financial crisis. That's another story that we're going to look at this morning. So stay tuned. We're going to come back just in few seconds.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And it's a bit cold this morning. And I think it's caught me by surprise, I think. It has a little bit of effect on me. So my voice is a bit sluggish, you know, if you can pick that up. Yeah, so, yeah, good morning. Good morning and welcome. It's 16 minutes past the hour of 8. And this is Unpacking the Day. So welcome to your favorite morning doze. So yeah, this morning we are talking about fuel. You know, I think it's something that we will never stop actually doing, you know, as you know, and not this time we're not talking about the price that you pay at the petrol station, at the pump. Yeah, although that definitely affects all of us. So we're talking about a much bigger story unfolding behind the scenes in Windhoek, you know, yeah, in the capital. So much bigger story that is unfolding, you know, in the capital. Now here is what make this story interesting. You know, it's a story that actually making our front page this morning, making the front page of the Villager, and the Villager, and it's a story by Pene Mbeko, Jonas, and also Nino Menwavali Hangala. So yeah, so so let's now 6 years ago Namco just to put you into, I always want to put you into when you haven't read the story. All right, what happened there? All right, okay, let's get back to the story. So 6 years ago, I just want to give you a little bit of a context to understand the story that we're looking at. 6 years ago, Namco wanted to control half of Namibia's fuel import market. So the Competition Commission rejected the plan, saying it would reduce competition and give one player too much power in the market. Okay, now you fast forward to today, you know, to 2026. So the government has given, so remember, the government has given now Vitol, a global energy trading company, exclusive right to supply Namibia's bulk fuel for the next 3 months, even if just for the next 3 months. So a complete, you know, has given Vitol what they didn't want it to give, actually, yeah, to Namco. So in other words, one company will handle the country's entire bulk fuel supply during this period, okay, during this 3 month period. Now the country handling, one company will handle the country's entire bulk fuel supply, you know, during now this period. So the strongest support of the deal is actually Namco itself. Now think about that. Okay, I want to really put, you know, think more outside the box here. Now the principle hasn't changed. When you look at that, the principle hasn't changed. The concern about market dominance is still there, isn't it? Because that was the concern. The concern about market dominance is still there. The only thing that has changed, is probably who is getting the advantage this time. So who is getting the advantage this? That's the only thing that have changed. You know, someone is getting the advantage, but the principle hasn't changed. The concern about market dominance is still there, isn't it? All right. So we're going to go into that and unpack that in more detail. So let's look at the story so far. Okay, let's look at the story so far. So the government has awarded Vitol an exclusive contract to supply Namibia's bulk fuel from July to September. Now the deal is worth about 7.2 billion Namibian dollar. The deal is worth about 7.2 billion Namibian dollar. That's a huge amount of money. That is actually a huge amount of money. And if you think about it, that is enough. That's enough to have a major impact on, I think that money is enough to have a major impact on country's energy sector. Just think about it. 7.2 billion, 3 months. You know, that's a lot of money. Okay. Enough to, as I said, to have a major, major impact on the country's energy sector. Now, according to the mines and energy ministers, Modesto Anse, Vitol won the contract for simple reasons. They won the contract for simple reasons. Its offers, what they offered, did not require any financial backing from the government. So there was no state guarantees, no extra charges added to the basic fuel price, and no additional cost to taxpayers. So that's why they won actually the contract. So the proposal was straightforward. Supply the fuel at the regulated price and carry the risk yourself. So that was their proposal. That was the proposal. And they actually won that proposal. So when you look at that, on the surface, really, when you look at all this proposal, you're thinking, okay, that sounds like a good deal, isn't it? It sounds like a good deal. But I think there are a few things that are very interesting, okay, in this contract, okay? Or when you look at overall, when you're looking at this proposal. So NAMCO also, okay? Now, because we're looking here, NAMCO actually being, you know, praising about this contract. So NAMCO also submitted a bid. They submitted a bid. However, the minister said NAMCO needed a government guarantee to secure fuel from its suppliers. So without the guarantee, it could not guarantee supply. You know, NAMCO could not actually guarantee supply. And as a result, the state-owned oil company lost out to the international fuel trader. So they lost out because they could not guarantee or secure fuel from without a guarantee. So the government guarantee. And that actually, when you think about it, that raises an important question. Why, or maybe I don't understand this, so you can always help me understand this. Why does Namibia's national oil company need government backing to buy fuel in the first place? Why would it need actually government backing? Because that question takes us to the heart of the bigger story now. So that question would take us there. Now, let's go back. So let's go back to 2019. Okay? Let's go back to 2019. At the time, NAMCO asked the Competition Commission, you know, for permission to control 50% of Namibian fuel import market. And it also wanted fuel wholesaler to buy half of the fuel from NAMCO for the next 10 years. So what happened? The Competition Commission rejected the request. So its reasoning was straightforward. Well, its reasoning was straightforward, giving one company that much control actually could push competitors out of the market. So it could push competitor out of the market, reduce competition, and give a state-owned company too much influence over a key industry. So that was the reasoning. Okay? That was the reasoning. And most people would agree that those concerns were reasonable, isn't it? Now, fast forward to 2026, to now. So the same government, the same government that accepted that decision has awarded a single company, Vitol, exclusive control of Namibia's bulk fuel supply for 3 months. Not 50% of the market, 100%. 100%, and the company is not even Namibian. Do you see the contradiction here? So when NAMCO wanted half the market, you know, when NAMCO wanted half the market, we were told that too much concentration of power was bad for competition. Do you understand? Do you understand the logic here and the contradiction that we see here? So when NAMCO wanted now that the half the market, so they said, well, no, that's too much concentration of power, eh? And that's bad for competition. That was the reason. But when an international fuel trader get the entire market, now we are told, no, it is necessary for business reasons. It is necessary for business reasons. That is where many people see a contradiction. Yeah? So the principles seem the same. It seems the principle is the same. What has changed is who benefit from it. So who is actually benefiting from this? But the story doesn't end there. The story is not ending there. What is really surprising is that NAMCO is not objecting to the arrangement. So, and please make sure that you read the full story in today's edition of The Villager. It's making the front page. So what is surprising is that NAMCO is not objecting to the arrangement. In fact, the company supports it. It's supporting it. Now, according to NAMCO, the deal now allows NAMCO to buy fuel at a better prices through the new supply system, while it continues actually working to improve its financial position. So they feel that it's actually in their benefit. You know, it allows them then to improve their financial position. Now, in other words, the company that lost the contract, says, well, it may still benefit from the outcome. So now that also raises another important question, okay? That also raises another important question. If this arrangement is helping NAMCO, what does that tell us about the state of the company today? Think about that. We're going to come back after this.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA. Where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right. Welcome back. It's 30 minutes past the hour of 8, and you are tuning to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. All right. So as I said, that's whole thing. If they see that, if they feel that this whole contract now, losing the contract So losing the contract actually still benefit. They still actually benefit from that outcome. It bet you to ask if this arrangement is helping. Now, when you think about, if you think that this is helping NAMCO now, if NAMCO thinking that it's helping them, now, you know, it bet the question about what does that tell us really about the state of the company today. So it looks like NAMCO, you know, position is it survival or probably surrender? Eh? You know, now, okay, let's be fair, okay? We're going to be fair to NAMCO. Let's, the company has made, when you look at the story, you know, when you read the story, the company has made, in the article, the company has made some real progress. And the number shows it, okay? The number shows it. Okay, that's always said, the number always tells you, the number don't lie. Now, over the past 2 years, the government has injected almost 2 billion Namibian dollar into NAMCO. So that money was intended now to help stabilize the company after a period of serious financial and management problems. You know, that's a problem with many other state-owned companies. So, yeah, the government injected that 2 billion Namibian dollar just past 2 years, 2 billion Namibian dollars. Now, so the whole idea is to stabilize the company, because it has been really, there has been a period of serious financial and management problems. So simply, things went badly wrong. Okay, they went bad wrong, and of course the taxpayer had to step in to help keep the company on its feet. Okay, now understand that. Okay, I want you to get the picture. Now, according to NAMCO, okay, and according to the article, the turnaround is working. Okay, it is working because the company say it. Its working capital deficit has fallen from about $2.38 billion in March 2024 to around $4,803 million by March 2026. All right, so it had the working capital deficit has fallen, you know, from $2.38 billion in March 2024 to around $483 million by March 2026. Okay, that's significant improvement and one that actually deserves recognition, I think. So, but also, as I always said, on unpacking the day, we ask, you know, questions that matter. Okay, we go into it. And really see and unpack much of those issues now. But it, as I said, it's also raised another important question. Because if NAMCO now is recovering financially, because that's the story we hear. So if it's recovering financially, why can it still not compete? Why it is still not compete for Namibia's fuel supply without government guarantee, like what Vitol is actually providing? Why can't it still not compete? Eh? And this is for Namibia's, for our fuel supply. So without, because you said recovering financially, why would still not compete without government guarantee? After receiving nearly $2 billion in public support, why is the national oil company still unable to secure fuel of its own? So, now, I don't know whether other people actually would pick up that. So, in asking these questions. But Namcol also sees the situation differently. So if you follow the story, they see that the situation differently. The company says the Vitol deal actually benefits it. They kind of see it differently, that they see this is benefiting them. The Vitol deal actually benefit them. Now, according to Namco, the arrangement allows it now, it allows Namco now to buy fuel at the basic fuel price with no extra charges. You understand? So it also reduces the risk involved in buying and transporting fuel, guarantees a steady supply, and also and allows the company to continue earning revenue from its storage facilities and distribution network. So, and it's to be fair, from a business perspective, that argument makes sense. It does make sense. That argument makes sense. But it also tells us something important. The argument makes sense, but it tells us something important. Now, instead of trying to become, you know, how would I put this? Instead of trying to become the country's main fuel supplier, Namcol appeared to be focusing on stability and recovery. So there's an opportunity you to become a country main fuel supplier. Yeah? But where are they focusing on? They're focusing on stability and focusing on stability and recovery rather than leading the market. Rather than leading the market, it is choosing to operate within. Now, it's choosing actually to operate within within a system led by someone else. So, do you see that? Okay. So Namcol actually is choosing, instead of leading the market, you're actually choosing to operate within a system led by someone else. And that someone else is not even a Namibian. Now the question is whether that is a smart or realistic strategy for rebuilding the company, or whether that is a sign that Namco has lowered its ambitions. You have to look at that. Is this realistic? Is this smart? Would you think that that's a smart and realistic strategy to rebuilding the company? Or is it a sign that Namcol actually has lowered its ambition? Is this a clever turnaround plan? Maybe this is a clever turnaround plan. Or is it slowly giving up the role it once wanted to play? That's what we have to ask. Are they giving up the role they wanted to play? All right. So now, not everyone agrees with the government decision, though. Okay. So there has been really much critics, and the critics are warning. There's also warning from inside the house, if you want. So from inside the house. One of the strongest critics is Maureen Hinder Mwende. You know, Maureen Hinder, who is actually a former acting managing director of Namco. So she argues, basically, from the point that I was making earlier, she argues that giving one company exclusive control of the country's fuel supply is the wrong move. You know, in her view, it creates a monopoly and could weaken Namibia's fuel industry in the long run. So this is a creating monopoly, and in the long run, it actually weakens Namibia's fuel industry. So and particularly Namco. So she believes it risks. So this kind of contract risk pushing Namco further to the sidelines, instead of helping it instead of helping NAMCOL actually become a stronger and more competitive. So now her concern is simple, but it's very important. Her concern is really, really, really important. Simple, but very important. If fuel traders and wholesalers spend 3 months relying on, let's say, for example, relying on a foreign supplier during this so-called emergency period, okay? Just follow her argument. If fuel traders and wholesalers spend these 3 months relying on a foreign supplier now, to Vito, for example, during this emergency period. So what happened when the arrangement ends? So what happened when the arrangement ends? Will they automatically now return to NAMCOL? Or will they continue doing business with the supplier they have actually grown comfortable with at that time? So one thing that we have to understand is this. Business relationship take time to build, okay? So, and company develop systems. They develop system, they develop routines, they develop trust with the people they work with. Okay? So many of you, whether you run whatever, you develop system, you develop routines and trust with the people you're working with. Once those relationship are established, they are not always easy to change. Yeah? And this is actually what she's alluding to. The 3 months may not sound like a long time. So when you think about the 3 months, it might not sound like it's a long time, but in business, my friend, in business, 3 months can be enough to change buying patterns. In 3 months, yeah, that can be enough actually to change buying patterns, create a new partnership, and shift the balance of market as well. Those 3 months is enough. So, and I said, once those relationships are established, they are not always easy to change. Eh? Because you create roots, you create trust with the people that you're working with. Eh? You create, your company develops systems. Eh? So, and as I said, it shifts the balance of the market. So, and once those habits take hold, really, I think reversing them can be difficult and costly. And this is what she's alluding to. So, and that is the warning coming from one of them called former leaders. Eh? Today's temporal solution could have long-term consequences for Namibia's fuel industry. Today's temporal solution, think of that. Today's temporal solution could have long-term consequences for our industry, for our fuel industry. Now, let's take a step back, okay? Let's take a step, because this story is about much more. It's much more than one fuel contract, okay? So we have to look at it more in a very bigger picture. Now, so the government say a new fuel import system. Now, according to the article, the government says a new fuel import system will be introduced later this year. A new fuel system, import system will be introduced later this year. Okay. Now, the aim is to lower, the aim of that system is to lower the cost, improve efficiency, and protect consumer from sudden swing in global fuel prices. Okay? So, now, those are worthwhile goals, of course. Those are worthwhile goals. But there are four important questions we should keep asking. Four. Now, the first one is the Vito deal really just a temporary solution Think about some of the things that we talked about. Is this a temporal solution, or is it setting a new standard? Now, so we're being told that giving one company exclusive control is necessary right now. Okay? But if we accept a monopoly today, follow the logic. So if we accept the monopoly today because it is convenient, what stops us from accepting another one tomorrow because it is cheaper or easier? Follow the logic. If we can say now we're accepting the monopoly today because it's convenient in the situation that we are. Now, what would stop us from accepting another one tomorrow? Maybe the reason is because it's cheaper, and easier. Are you thinking? So, now the other thing, the second question is, what happened after September? What happened after? Does Namibia now return to an open and competitive fuel market, where different companies now can compete to supply fuel? Would it return to that, or will another sole supplier arrangement take its place? Could be under a different label, you know. It could be under a different label. So what happened? Are we going to come back? You know, we return to an open and competitive fuel market. And watch out. So, and I want you to watch that out. Watch that out in September. This question that I'm asking, you know, these things that I'm asking, watch out. So whether we could still, as I said, whether now we might just end up, we might have just the reason to say, well, this is convenient, except this is much more convenient because it's cheaper and it's easier. So there won't be that competitive. There won't be that open and competitive fuel market anymore. Just watch out after September. Okay? So have that in the back of your mind. Just watch out. Okay? Just watch out. Now, the other thing is, what about national control? Now, fuel is not just about, fuel is not just another product. Seriously, fuel is not just another product. It is a strategic, in any other country, it's a strategic resource that powers your transport, that powers your business, that powers your hospital, that powers your economy as a whole. Countries around the world take fuel security seriously. They take fuel security seriously. That's why we have war. The reason why we have war, you know, in the Middle East and anywhere else is because of fuel. At this point in time, it's because of that. So this is a strategic resource. Now, the question is, what about our national control? Where is our national control? So when the entire supply is placed in the hand of a foreign company, even for a short period of time, and even at a competitive price, as we hear, it is a decision that deserves careful examination, I tell you. It's a decision that deserves a careful examination. It should not simply be accepted without question. It shouldn't at all. And even if we have leaders that have been in, for example, that are in the industry questioning the very same thing, so one should look at that with open eyes. As I said, this is, you know, it's fuel is a strategic resource. War are being fought now because of that. Now, the fourth question is, what happened to the nearly $2 billion Namibian dollar that taxpayer invested in NAMCO? In two years, we invested about $2 billion Namibian dollar. Eh? So has that money helped build a stronger, more capable company? Because we should be now stronger, more capable. Or has it mainly been used to cover, maybe it has been used to cover the past losses and financial problems that we talked about earlier? Eh? So what happened to the nearly $2 billion Namibian dollar? We, the taxpayers, actually invested in NAMCO. The MPs, where are you? These are questions that you should be asking. We deserve clear answers on this. Yeah? After all, this is public money. Yeah? It is public money. People have a right to know what has it achieved. What does this money achieve? Yeah? Whether it has put NAMCO on a path of a long-term success. That's what we want to know. Did it put now NAMCO at the path, you know, to a long-term success? Because otherwise, we keep doing the very same old things. We pump into money, into institutions, into state-owned companies that are not profitable at all, that are not beneficial. Eh? We keep doing the same thing. And look at where we are. Eh? Yeah, those are the questions that will matter. I think they will matter long after this 3 months full deal, you know, come to an end. So we should be asking those questions. Our leaders should be asking. Our parliamentarian lawmakers should be asking those questions. Okay, now it's you guys. It's your turn now, all right? It's your turn. We have unpacked the facts. So we have unpacked the fact. We looked at the argument from both sides. Yeah? We look at the argument from both sides and ask some really questions, some tough questions. But what do you think? What do you think? Are you comfortable? Okay, let me ask you these questions, okay? Before you come through. So, are you comfortable with foreign company having exclusive control of Namibia's fuel supply for 3 months? Eh? Are you?
Are you comfortable?
A very good morning to you.
Yes, Big Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm all right, Mike.
It's a bit cold today, but it's a good weather, though.
Yeah, it's a bit cold.
Yeah.
The weather in the window also is the same.
Yeah.
But it's better than nothing.
Mm.
Yes, Mike, I'm buffered. But anyway, first of all, let me say, Senegal, yesterday, disappointed us, man.
Yeah. France is one of the favorite anyway. They have superstars.
Me also, I'm supporting France, but yesterday, as African, I have to go to Senegal, and I thought Senegal would do better. Because the way they started, they start dominating the game, and I think our coach at the sidelines are the problem. Yeah, when it comes to tactical, and maybe favoring the other players. You know, Sai was just completely out.
Mane was not even anywhere to be seen.
Even Mane also, it's supposed to take them long time. Even Gunn, that guy from Everton.
I thought the system didn't suit him well.
Exactly. And you are very capable of players outside there, but you are still, look, there's also then Dia from Everton.
Yeah.
It's about even to bring him a long time ago. But seriously, I think sometimes, because I'm telling you that the game was about to end even like maybe on the favor of Senegal.
It could have been a draw. There are good goals. France have scored good goals, though. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it could have been even a draw. I think if they capitalize on the chances that they had in the first half, they could have actually. If they have someone to finish the dinner, I think they would have leading before even the halftime. Yeah.
Serious. This one for Algeria. Algeria and Tunisia always they're qualifying, but they need to make up numbers.
Yeah.
Algeria, Tunisia, South Africa. Really, I don't have any hope for them. No. Yeah. I don't think even South Africa will win even any single game in their group.
You'll be surprised.
South Africa to beat South Korea. It will be a miracle, my friend.
Yeah,
maybe it can happen, but we need those one of the what? Those prophets from the north. We can see the witchcraft anyway. Anyway, Mike, let us go to the topic.
Yeah.
Mike, when you are talking about Israelis, some of us we even said to hear those news.
Yeah.
Just imagine, and call, make a request to the government to get the 50%.
Yeah.
And the competition commissioner, they reject, they say, no, we cannot allow it. And then now they are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
With a foreign company. Come on, guys, man.
100%, 100%, you know?
Now what they're asking is 50%. Mm. Just imagine now. Yeah? And nobody is saying anything.
Mm.
And they are saying, no, there will be no business as usual, but the president is quiet about it. Yeah? Guys, man, seriously.
Yeah. Mm.
I know why we never even demonstrated for these things as a nationwide people. We always want just one I'm sure to do these things or what in his own, then we are watching.
So the other thing is that many people, you know, when it comes, there aren't many people that have really much interest, the ordinary people, there aren't much people that have interest in this. Even if we're talking about oil and gas, because it's things that are very technical or far from us.
The thing is far from them.
Yeah.
But this is their day-to-day life.
They are not interested. The reason sometimes we, like if you listen to Eagle FM, we are the one who will go beyond the stories that are out there, go and dig out some other things and bring it to you. If you don't listen to Eagle FM, sometimes you may not actually have access to this kind of information.
And when you see it in the newspaper, not many people are digging out to read this, what is the technical word they mean, because they always are using this vocabulary words also. And the way they are confusing our
Because for us, we bring you the story in the villager, and a program like this now go deeper, looking at other things looking at more much what happened in terms of this contract and all this, and bring it to you. So yeah, much of the reason why is because people don't maybe they pick up somewhere, they read this a little bit of that story somewhere, but it doesn't have much that can give you anything to talk about.
But I feel like, you know, this even a platform like this, there must be even some, how can I put it? Because like everybody is watching the news.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some clips they play for 15 minutes. Because these are important information, which we never get it anyway.
Yeah.
And most people, even though, like now we are talking, there are some of them that are playing their music. So at that station where they play music. You see? And that is the problem. Why? But these things, when it's facing you tomorrow, is you want to wake up making a lot of noise, but some of the information is already bent past, like now.
Mm.
But not much of people are paying attention for it. But this is our life, my friend. We are talking about our future of this country.
Yeah.
And when you look, things are happening this way. Where are we heading? What was a mandate for the government to give NAMCO 2 billion? It's for them to be competitive.
Yeah.
And now they are settling them from competition. To compete for in the oil supply.
And even NAMCOL still want a guarantee from the government to supply, to be able to supply fuel, you know?
So
they could have actually submitted a proposal that also doesn't require a guarantee from the government. You know?
Government, now government is feeling like, you know, because now government, you know, and these people, maybe somebody's paid, what they call, paid on their sidekick or something. Then now they feel like, you know, maybe if we got this way direction, maybe they'll hear us. Since now, just like, you know, omnike ya mumbolo, pemeshe ya mo, okwetera mumba fa nyendilo, pemene peme akwata kumbalisha. Pemene wena manjuta imasi, wateko. Osho Namibia ninga nankonga. Ah, guys, man, we cannot continue this way. Yeah. This is not how we build our country. And much of it, we don't pay attention that, you know, the moment that you think you are enriching yourself with your family, you are putting a lot of people in the what, in the poverty line.
This is actually the old same thing where you just pump money into something that is not growing. You know, we should be. Actually, even 50% of NAMCO and 50% of it all, you know?
Exactly. It will make sense. Now you are giving 100%.
Now you're giving this the control. As I said, this is a most this is the most the world that we have now is because of these resources.
It is. If you look what American when come to attack Iran, it's because they know the competition there is getting higher from Russia and the China, and much of them people, our leaders, they don't know that. This is not about American interest only to fail in Iran.
No.
They're trying to disrupt the economy.
Yeah. This is a strategic resources. Because everything you do depend on it. This is what power your transport, power your businesses, hospital, your entire economy, you know.
It's depend on it.
And the whole thing you give it to, you know, to the foreign company.
Oh my goodness. Oh my God. Sometimes I'm looking at these guys who are talking on the TV and then wondering, what is this now? I know when you are talking and you come and tell us something, it's like you are telling the small kid or what?
Yeah.
If there was one way passport here, I will leave this country. That's not for myself. That is the sake of my kids.
No. You can't go to a country where other people have worked so hard to put their country where it is and just go enjoy that. No, we have to do what we do to actually to clean up the mess, our own mess, and create our own paradise. No. You're not going to go anywhere. You are not going anywhere. No.
My brother, don't tell my England, I'm going to move now. I saw you kidding. Even they don't make it in the economy, they are able to play in the spot on the level.
Not to wake it up. You know, we're still fighting our forefathers, the Nyomas of this world, the Mahareros and others.
Those are immigrant kids. Mala tuwete kutapi meo France kwa yaje ka lole sashi. The people are getting a chance, are getting opportunity. But in Namibia, here, my friends, everything you are sidelined.
No. We're not gonna go anywhere. We will fight. Even if you're repeating the same thing over and over. Someone pick up. Maybe a lawmaker pick up questions and be able to ask it in parliament. You know? So we're not going to give up at all.
We are not going to surrender until something is be done.
Oh, yeah.
But seriously, our lawmaker also, they need to start asking the right question. They need to come to the public also. Maybe just one even like
many of them are honestly lazy to research. And we put it out there, and I'm going to put it out that they are honestly lazy to research. Sometimes the information out there that they can challenge, that they can provide, you know, and they are lazy to research.
This is just imagine, this is not the one for swap. It's not an MP for Swabo.
What is that?
The woman you are talking about, Mwende.
Yeah, yeah. She was a minister. She was even a deputy minister.
Yeah, and yeah. Okay, now if you look, where's the opposition now?
Yeah.
Why now they are not even taking up her emotion in the parliament? The problem which we have here is that sometimes also this opposition, they also involved on those deals.
Yeah, even opposition sometimes depend what the level of people that you have.
But Michael, if Eagle FM might be able to dig this out, why of MP, our parliamentary reform opposition, they not able to get it, this information?
I am a toilet king in MP Dimaga. Oh.
I wonder, the way you are getting information. The way you are getting information,
there
also must just go there to dip it, to dip that information also.
To toilet king in MP Dimaga.
An MP that was getting another source of information. I don't know what is something and stop.
Yeah.
There was a lot of information coming out, but now since he entered the house, yeah, it become quiet also. Really, I think they need to start making a lot of research when it comes to this thing issue. And sometimes we need a national address from the opposition.
Yeah, and the research is not even just MP, even the institution of learnings. They should even the whatever national, whatever NSA, you know, there should be institution that more money goes to research and all that kind of things. That's the only way you can be able to help the nations understand the issues, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, because now we cannot just like, no, man, this is really wrong. And I think even this, what do you call it, this Commission of Competition, they supposed to be asked some serious question.
Yeah, and even if we had, you know, that company, the EITI, or whatever, the one of transparency that we should be actually, that's nobody focusing on mining and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That we should be joining. We should have been joining already 3 or 4 or 5 years ago.
Up to now, they are extant.
We haven't. So these are the things that would actually come public and, you know, teased out by even more people who understand this field much better.
Yeah, much better.
And public be able to know exactly what is going on, you know? The transparency and accountability. Huh?
I think it's a hard time, Mike, seriously. But I'm just also angry with the opposition, which are not doing anything.
Yeah.
They are there now in the parliament and they feel also comfortable, but it's just about to, like, we only have, like, what? I think it's 3 years and a half for new election. And now you guys are comfortable, but you come here to make a lot of noise. I don't think we want to see a lot of them.
Yeah, sometimes there's just noise that are not dealing with the important issues, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like now is when them most we need them to bring out this information what you are Eagle FM able to bring to us, but now there were no way to be found. They support even like now when it comes to veto, they support even the opposition or whatever, all those which are there. They're supposed to gain up that no, we are not going to allow this. And they have even a national conference where they can call MPs and the other medias to address them.
Yeah.
But they are not doing that until things are getting sour. But seriously, I'm telling you, Mike, make my words. The things are not taking us anywhere.
Yeah.
We are not going anywhere until if we continue this way. Because I was happy with that 51% they are saying they are going to introduce. Now they are all quiet. Now we are giving 100% to this one. We are getting 30% from our generation plan. You don't know what else if we are talking about nationality. How are you going to build industrialized nation if you are still doing this kind of things, giving the 100% to a foreign company? Will you are having your own? What is the aim of to establish NAMCO?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let me give other people a chance. But seriously,
All right.
This is really like somebody stabbing you with a knife in your heart.
No, thanks, it's man. Really thanks painful. For coming through. Yeah.
All right, man.
All right. So, are you comfortable with a foreign company having exclusive control of Namibia's fuel supply for 3 months? Do you think the government made the right decision by choosing the low cost bid, even though it came from an international company rather than NAMCO? You know? Now, should NAMCO be in a stronger position by now, considering the amount of public money that has been invested in the company? Well, those are some questions that we should be looking at. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bom dia, família.
Bom dia, como está?
Aqui está fazendo freio, meu irmão. Está fazendo muito freio, bostas. Cold here, my brother. Very cold.
It's cold, né?
Yeah,
muito frio.
Frio.
Frio?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, okay.
Está fazendo muito frio.
Muito frio, okay.
Yeah. What's the dissection of the day?
What is the?
The dissection of the day.
What are we talking?
Yeah, what are we talking about? Because I just get where my brother was talking about the pandas and others. I didn't copy it very well. What are you guys saying?
So you're not listening. You're not listening.
I was busy. I just came in now. I want to say something quickly, then I go.
Yeah, I don't know. We're looking at NAMCO. Vito, the Vietnam call and Vito story. You know, the whole petrol thing. The contract that was given to Vito, so 100% to exclusive to NAMCO. So we're talking about that. How does that affect, you know, our energy supply, you know, in the future? Because these are strategic resources. It shouldn't be given, you know, exclusive, you know, 100% to foreign companies. It's just looking at some of the issues that are involved in terms of that. And it's based on the stories that is on our front page today on The Villager. Yeah. So the question is probably that you can look at, is like, are you comfortable with a foreign company having exclusive control over our Namibia fuel supply? You know, even if for 3 months, what happened after that? You know, yeah.
Okay. Mm. You know when we talk about foreign, we are already talking about the international problem.
Yeah.
So and you remember when the first war started, when they were using shackles to remove the tanks and stuff like that, then the issue started there when they got stuck at the American on the wall. They got run away, and because the shackle get finished, and somebody realized no, there's something which are called a petrol which are underground. So then there were a problem. They decided anybody any country who's having a petrol, be like our wife. So this, there the problem started. So now, whenever you have petrol, my brother, you're not free. You're not alone. You are already dealing with the international problem.
Yeah.
Even you can say whatever you want, you can do whatever you want, you'll never be free when you have petrol, because they want to control you. So that's why, even yesterday you mentioned to say, that's why you buy petrol in US dollar.
Yeah.
You see? Yeah, there's a problem there. So, I think maybe we need to study more, and because they will come up with excuses to say you cannot qualify. Even I saw some clip and 3 months ago when we say Namibia discovered petrol, and they were already a debate with this international country to say Namibia cannot be free to just do whatever you want. You should first go and listen to the big bosses. I was like, what? You must go first to Britain and other these big companies and petrol. Then they give you to say, this is what we do, this is what we not do. So In that case, we need really to just to see how will really from here to 10 years,
yeah,
how we will be part of this system. Because now they will tell you to say, now you cannot do much because you don't have the knowledge and you don't know how. We are using our machine. We are using our intelligence for us to get your petrol. So what you see, just like you are a bodyguard. So
yeah.
Now, in that case, I think companies need really to put more money when it comes to education. Our kids from day one, from pre-primary, starting already, what is the starting, not to putting what designing dolls. No, they should start with the petrol now. Start from there, from pre-primary, until when they reach the advanced education, they understand and they know what to do. Because now it's difficult. Sometimes you don't understand even some things they use, you know.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you this: my our money, our knowledge, our intelligence. What you do, you just stand outside and look. What are we doing? Even most of these countries who are dealing with petrol, they're not even free. They're just putting there and there. But if you go deeper, they are like working for somebody who are controlling them. They are system of foreign. We need to open, to put more money in our education. To
all
see
right.
From here to 10 years, how far we will be.
All right. All right,
thank
bro.
Thank you, my brother. Yeah, thank you, my brother.
Great.
Okay.
08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. And do you believe this is really just a temporal arrangement? Or could it be the beginning of a long-term shift in how Namibia secure its fuel supply? So, well, those are questions that we have that are lingering in our mind, given, you know, the situations, given what is happening.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Well, 19 minutes past the hour of 9, and thanks for joining us. And this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So, yeah, just maybe to round up, just bring it all together, what we have been discussing on this story. This NAMCOR and Vito story is not simply about one contract or one decision. I think it's a mix of different realities, okay? A state-owned company still trying to recover from financial trouble. You know, that's one aspect. And then you have a government choosing what it says is the most cost-effective option. And then you have an international trader stepping in actually to fill the gap in the system. So that's what you honestly see if you open up the box. So if you open up the box, that's what you see. And it also raises a bigger issue. Okay. It raises a bigger issue whether the rules are applied consistently. Okay. Are the rule applied consistently or whether they shift depending on who is involved? That's what we're seeing. It's more like it depending on who is involved. So now here are the key points, you know. First, Vitor currently has full control of Namibia's full supply until September. Full control. Okay? And I said, these are strategic resources. Fuel is a strategic resource. So one have to be really, really, you know, the reasons why there is war is because of that. Secondly, NAMCO support the arrangement, saying it help its recovery and financial stability, you know. So, and the most important issue is not what happened in these 3 months, but what comes after them, after these 3 months, that what then? So that's where the real consequences will be felt. So, yeah, and that's where this morning on this segment, you know, conversation, you know, how would I say? So what is your take? You can still actually, you know, come through in terms of that, your reaction to that. But also make sure that you read the story in today's edition of The Villager. It's a front page story. Subscribe to The Villager. You just have to send your name and your email address to 081-200-4144. 081-200-4144. So for you to subscribe. And The Villager comes, is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All right. So, a very good morning to you.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay, okay. Yeah, Vito.
Yeah.
Those are the major players, you know, for Arabian countries.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the good thing is there is nothing wrong to venture with them. Because them, they have access. It's only that they are also a part of the state power in their country.
Yeah.
Because it looks like the state company, I think they have few percentage there on the refinery of their countries. Because it's their refinery is a capacity of 224,000. Barrel per day, which is also doing good on look of country like Namibia. Yeah, I think maybe they will sustain us for now. I don't know about the future, but for now, I think they are good because where we were relying on in South Africa, as I say, Sasola was not, this capacity or the refinery capacity of South Africa is not that good because you have big market, big service or consumers that they are relying on him. So it end up shortage of that. But unfortunately, they don't have also relying source of supplying crude oil in terms of the Middle East where a conflict is.
So but this whole move, Nim, looking also at the argument of Maureen Ndabwende, where she would say that giving one company exclusive control of the country's fuel supply is a wrong move, because in a way, it doesn't kind of help NAMCO to become stronger and more competitive. You know, it's actually weakened NAMCO in that way. So, and the whole also where the argument to say where the commission was saying, that won't be good to have a monopoly of one company, you know. So what do you think in terms of that? Because that's some of the critics that are there.
Yeah, but in terms of looking this oil power,
yeah,
the power is not on the crude oil. The power is on the refinery. That's why if you look at some countries like Kenya, Malawi, in South Africa, the consumers suffer more because they don't have contract with the refinery companies. They have only those middlemen guys.
Yeah.
Which they are sometimes they also struggle to get. Yeah. On the comment of Meme in Parliament, it doesn't really make much to say, okay, let us give a company that is also not having access to the refinery.
Mm.
Yeah, yes, Namibia was good to say, because they are relying on Puma Energy, who have access in Singapore, where we're using to getting our oil. Yeah, and that one now, since they are, as I said, any administration come with his own people, who end up on close fire because of that. Yeah, but it have nothing to do to say he's monopolying, as long as he's sustaining acting on to sustaining the country. That is a good move.
Mm.
But to giving some companies that they don't have access into oil to the refinery, it's not good. If you go to Europe, you're finding some countries are suffering because of that, because of the relying on the middlemen.
Yeah.
Whom they are well equipped. But if you look at now the Vitol is a logistic company. So they have vessels that they are coming straight to Namibia, even in Africa. So they are venturing in a lot. They are not in something small to say, what if their vessels broke down or something like that? No.
Yeah, in this way, it's actually sidelining competition. And the other point is also looking at, what is this? Namcol. Namcol, where they receive nearly about $2 billion in public support. Why aren't they able to secure now fuel on its own without asking government guarantee?
Mike, as I said, Namcol can have money on the hand.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't have a company that have access to the final, that is where the problem is.
Mm.
The price will go up, because if you are getting somebody who have access to the final in Aliga Dagote, and he is now in Algeria, the price will go up in this country than to dealing with a person that have access to it. As I said, Vito have access into the refinery of Bahrain.
Mm.
So they are skewer. So they are also standing. That's why, even if you look at Competition Commission,
yeah,
they are also supporting because of the price, because they know the price will not change in 2 days' time.
So we should abandon the competition. You know,
this is not a matter of market competition when it comes to scarce commodities.
Yeah.
So it's just like a food. If you have a company that can supply in your country to get rid of hunger, you cannot say we're needing more. And we have a guiding policy that said emergency procurement. Maybe that is what they use.
Yeah.
You understand? Because the price is up. We see it is already in our country. It's $24 per liter. Is something that is coming in 2 months' time. So yeah, how do we, if we keeping those guys in, who are going to afford $32 in September, somewhere there in October? So the problem will come. This is not what to say. It's a submission of application to be get the tender. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. This is a commodity. If you have access to commodity, that is what we want. It's the same with some of those procurement requirements, like you have a certificating from WHO to supplying medicine to Namibia. But if you don't have a accredited certificating from WHO, we cannot buy it from you, because we don't know whether it's really or not. And this commodity is the same thing. We don't know whether it's reaching Namibian standard. If we bring you in, competition is not working when it in terms of emergency and thing. So that is where the problem is. I understand the argument.
No, the argument is that, well, you are telling us that too much concentration of power of one company is bad for competitions, and then now you have international fuel traders getting the entire market, and we are told now that's necessary for business reason. Could be true. I mean, you're right. I also understand the point you're making. You know, yeah. So, but then the principle. Then we're also looking at the principle, and how do we then we get also NAMCO out of business?
No, NAMCO was having opportunity for quite long.
Yeah.
And they give this opportunity to Sasola, where I'm saying Sasola is the one who let us down.
Mm.
If you could get in this such as people who have access into refinery who could not feel this heat, you understand?
Mm.
So that is where the problem. We cannot say why we are in problem. We are in problem because of NAMCO.
Yeah.
Whom just starts subcontracting any person that is coming in.
Yeah.
With a beautiful proposal while they don't have access. Even Alika Dagota was there looking for some people. It's the same problem that we are having.
Yeah.
We cannot say I'm venturing with Angola who is even is not. In a capacity of supplying his country, the demand, it's the same thing. So don't compare with orange or potatoes and you say, yeah, because every farmer has a potato. No. Look at the access of these refineries, to be honest.
Yeah.
So the whole over the world, even when it was predicted at the beginning, they said, no matter how good you are to getting the crude oil, the access of refineries in the power of controlling the market.
Yeah.
And that is what we don't, NAMCO doesn't have. They don't have, and Sasola doesn't have. And most of the companies in Nigeria, they don't have.
Mm.
So they have power to getting the crude oil from their friends in the Niger Delta. But to supply Nigeria, they're failing because of accessing to the refinery. So those are the things that I'm not agree with her because in terms of monopoling that she's talking about. But yeah. We are talking about sometimes we don't just agree with the parliament, but we have also to look at the people themselves.
Yeah.
The consumer. The consumer are complaining about the heat of the price that they are facing.
Mm.
So, yeah, for that reason, we cannot listen to her and say, let us making a decision to make available for everybody. What if those guys that are coming in, beautiful one from UK, he doesn't have access even to any fuel, or he doesn't have even a vessel. This guy that I'm talking about, he has a vessel on his own.
Yeah. He's
transporting massive of containers each and every day. So he can bring our tanker in straight into Walvis Bay. So for me, it's not to this parliamentarian. Yeah, but to the people out there, I can, yeah, supporting them that let us supporting the one who is have access into the processing company.
The other issue is then it's a long term. I think it's a long term plan from the government. When you think in terms of, you know, we accept okay, let's say monopoly today because it is convenient. Okay, so mm-hmm. what stop us from accepting another one, you know, after this, maybe after September, because it's cheaper or it's easier doing business with them?
But the background check, the recommendation that we are talking about, so it's the one that is a problem here. Most of the people they are approaching us, we didn't say there was no a lot of them. But yeah. The issue is that I have... Mike, I give you a good example of the accredited by WHO.
Yeah.
If you have such a company in India that are making Panado or whatever the painkillers are, so we need a certificate from that is in your name from that manufacturer company. You understand?
Yeah.
For asking to give you that tender. Most of these companies that are coming, they don't have access.
Mm.
You understand? So that is where the problem is. That is what we're facing with Sasola in South Africa. We agree with Sasola to giving us oil. We are giving Sasola to supplying us. At the end of the day, Sasola is giving another tender to somebody else. So whom Sapsola doesn't have oil on his hand, so it's buy and sell.
Yeah. Mm.
Not to buy and processing. That is, we don't have. So yes, they can come in. They can pitch because of the what the parliamentarian that they are saying. You know, maybe we get a kickback. But we are talking about the crisis that have happened on those 2-3 months.
Yeah.
You understand? So that is where the problem is here. That is where some of us, we are supporting that because we don't want him to end up on the crisis.
Mm.
Or the price went up there in the China supplier somewhere there. Instead of having this one who are having direct agreement, and he's supplying a lot of countries in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not only Namibia that is coming in. He is already relying on by many countries.
Mm.
So I don't see any wrongdoing to say, okay, let us give him another 6 months into supplying us until the situation are cooled down. And this is what in the major players, that is, the role players, that is, they've been by BP and Puma and Shell. They were doing the same.
Yeah.
We were not complaining about it because we were not knowing how the setup was. You understand?
Mm.
So those are the things that we need to look at. And Singapore is now relying by many because China, they're out of the game because of those sanctioned oil that is, and they have no more access to it. So now in Asia, in South Korea and Singapore, where there is a big refinery, or in India where there is a big refinery, most of the countries, they are already setting up a contract with those guys. And remember, as we are a small, tiny percentage of refinery to getting the contract. So that is another issue, which is our population is also not that good because it's a one city in India. A town in India. So all the cars that are roaming around Namibia, they are in one town in India. So they cannot signing up a supplier chain with the refiner. That is another thing we need to know about it. Not only to say how many cars do we have. We have more than 200,000 cars.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Go and count in Joburg. How many cars are in Joburg? So those are the things that we have to look at. If you're getting this lucky to have access into the refiner, I think it's a better one.
Yeah. Just a quick one. Is this the long term shift, if you think? Is this the long term shift maybe how Namibia need to secure? I mean it's full supply. Do you think maybe this is the long way, you know, the long term shift that we need to look at? Mm.
I think it will be end up like that. Because what we learn is what is now on the acting of this government thing, decision.
Mm.
So, okay, because the way the Competition Commission coming in, they are just comparing the prices.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is another issue, and the offer that was on the table. But on the look of coming back to our major players, like now, Castro, who is coming in, yeah, maybe, I don't know about others, but I'm talking about Castro, who is now backing in the game.
Yeah.
So, whether they will give him that tender, whether he have also secure access into the refinery. Yeah, I think that is. But for now, it looks like it's a done deal thing. They will be end up stick on that because of the way. Remember the subsidy that they were putting on is a lot of money also that they were losing.
It is.
So that is now something that they're learning about it to say, what if we were not having money?
Yeah.
So the country will be just go dry like that.
Mm.
And remember, if the fuel is starting to running slow, the revenue will go down because of the logistics that we are relying on the trucks. So that is another issue which we. I think if you are sitting with the right people in the table, they will not change the system.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
You're welcome, brother.
Mm. Yeah, 08-08-333-66091. 08-333-66091. So what is your take? What is your reaction? So 08-333-66091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, kodora heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good... I nearly said something else. Good morning. So, yeah, welcome. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. So, I'm your host, Big Mike. So, yeah, let's move on. Let's move on to something. I don't want to postpone, you know, I postponed this topic yesterday. So, this story yesterday. So, let's get into it now. So, we're talking about, you know, something that that affect many households across the country. And that's debt. And we're not talking about the national debt. We're talking about your personal debt. Maybe, you know, you have looked at your payslip and wondered where all your money went after deduction. You actually should know. You should know where your money went. You know, maybe you have seen a colleague struggling to make it, you know, to the end of the month. This conversation is really... it's about that reality, you know? It's about that reality. So we are not talking about, as I said, we're not talking about, you know, government's debt. We are talking about, you know, personal debt. The debt of civil servant next door, you know, the teacher in Katutura, the nurse in Oshakati, you know, policemen or police officers in Kiet Mansuop, you know. And perhaps even you, your own debt. Eh? Your own debt. That's what we're looking at. You know, Parliament has finally started paying attention. Yeah, and the Standing Committee on Economic Industry, Public Administration and Planning has lodged a public hearing to find out whether Namibia's current law, okay, this is what they wanted to find out, that whether Namibia's current law are doing enough to protect borrowers. So what do you think? Are they doing enough to protect the borrowers? Now, in simple terms, they want to know whether banks, microlenders, informal money lenders are treating people fairly. So that's what they want to find out. So, whether they are trapping people in a cycle of debt. Are they treating people fairly, or are they trapping people in a cycle of debt that is becoming impossible to escape? Because we have people that are actually slave of debt. Eh? So, and that is the big question now facing the country. The big question now that is facing the country, are lenders helping people when they need financial support, or are they making life even harder, yeah, for those who are already struggling? So are they helping people, you know, are they helping people when they need financial support, or are they making life even harder for those who are already struggling? So that's the question that now facing the country. Now let's let me just put you into perspective of this. So this inquiry it didn't appear out, didn't just come out nowhere. So the National Assembly sent the issue to the committee in September 2025, almost a year ago now. So since then, many households, especially those of civil servant, especially those of civil, have been under heavy financial pressure, you know, while Parliament has been slow to respond, you know, but at least the process is now, it's now moving, okay? Now, the committee chairperson, Ipumbushimi, yeah? The committee chairperson, the former finance minister, has been clear about what they are finding. So, what they are finding, household debt is no longer a small issue. Household debt is no longer an issue, is no longer a small issue. It has become a serious national problem. It has become a serious national problems. So one of the most worrying figure is that 82% of new loans, 82% of new loans from micro lenders are payday loans. You know? So the payday loans is the most people are not borrowing for long-term goals like building a homes or starting business or paying for educations. They are not loaning for those kind of things. Instead, they are actually borrowing to get what? To get through the month. So we're talking about 82%. Eh? So they are borrowing to get through the month, to buy food, to pay school costs, whatever that is, to keep the lights on. Yeah, that's what they are borrowing for. So we are more like Namibia now. So what Namibia is doing, you just actually now translate it to people. We are more like Namibia. So they are not borrowing. Because you look at our development budget, it's very thin. Very, very, very thin. So it's the same thing with when it comes now to persons. We're not borrowing to build houses, you know, to build homes or starting business or paying education or whatever the case may be. So we are actually borrowing, you know, to get through the month. Yeah? So we are borrowing actually to get through the month, yeah? To buy the essential, the basic needs. Yeah? So, and that changes how we should think about debt. Okay? So for many families, it's no longer about investment or growth. It's about survival. Eh? Now it's about survival. Now, so the real question becomes, if most borrowing is just to survive until the next salary, what does that say about now? What does this say about the financial pressure facing civil servant and ordinary workers in Namibia? So what does this say about this? This pressure, this financial pressure facing, you know, civil servant and ordinary workers in Namibia. Now, this part of the story is where things actually get more complicated. Okay? So this is where things get more complicated. So in the public service, there's something called payroll deduction system. Many people know it. Many people know it simply, they know it as simply as a system that actually takes money off their salary before you, you even see it on your bank account. So now here's how it works. So when a government worker takes a loan, the repayment is automatically deducted from their salary. So the money goes straight to the lender first. It goes first to the lender, so the money straight go to the lender first, and only what is left is paid to the worker, you know, from already that payroll deduction system. So at the first glance, you know, it seems practical. All right, that seems practical, and it makes sure that loans are repaid on time. And reduces the risk for the lender. Okay? But there is a problem. Okay? There is an issue. There is a problem. If a lender knows they will get their money directly from your salary before you even touch it, they may not, this is what now the thinking is, that they may not properly check whether you can actually afford the loan in the first place, eh? Which can lead then to careless lending. So the careless lending is because the lenders knows that they will get their money directly from your salary before you even touch your money. So, and that's why that there is no proper check whether you can actually afford the loan or not. So, and that can lead to careless lending. So, and that seemed to be what is happening. So according now to the committee chairperson, some workers are already in serious, serious situation. In certain cases, so much is deducted from the salary that what remains is not even enough to live on. So you find so many people now that this deduction, when they are done, there's nothing left at all. But the thing is this, there is a law. Okay? The law is very clear. So the total salary deduction should not go beyond 1/3 of a worker's pay. That's the law. Now, that law is meant actually to protect employees from their over-deduction. So, but there is a concern. There are concerns that this rule is being ignored. I think it's being ignored, and workers and worked around in practice. So it's being ignored, and some are working around it when it comes now to practical in a practical way. So the big question is this. Now the big question is this: if the law is supposed to protect workers, but people are still ending up with almost nothing left at the end of after the deduction, so where is the system failing? Where is the system failing? Is the lenders? Is the payroll system? Or the institution meant to enforce the rule? Remember, the deduction, the total salary deduction should not go beyond 1/3 of a worker's pay. So where is the failing? Is it now with the payroll system, or is it with the lenders, or is it with the institution meant now to enforce the rule? So where is the failing? Now let's talk about micro lenders for a minute. Okay, is that a lifeline, or they are actually leech? You know the leech. are they blood suckers? Are they blood suckers? These are, when you look around, these are the small loan companies you see almost every town and suburb across the Namibia. So they are widespread in places, everywhere. Windhoek, Rundu, Swakopmund, everywhere, Shakati. So many of them are making significant profit from people who are under serious financial pressure, especially public servants who are trying to make it, and these are people who are trying to make it through the month. They are making significant profit from them. So now the committee is now looking into whether the interest rates charged by these lenders, are fair. Are they fair? So the micro lenders usually say they are higher. The reason why they are higher, they have a higher rate. Their higher rate are justified because they lend to people who are seen as a higher risk, compared to the bank customers. So that is their explanation. And they are operating just like IMF and World Bank. So they actually operate in the same strategy. Oh, sorry for that, man. I have to pull my... All right. So they're exactly operating in the same system. So they, the people... So like Africa is seen as a higher risk. We are now Africa. So we are now the Africans of when it comes to this. So they say they operate on higher risk, a higher rate. You know, their rate is higher, and they justify it by saying, well, the people that we are dealing with, they are seen as a higher risk. They are seen as a higher risk compared now to the bank customers. So, yeah. But there is a question worth asking. You know, if most loans are payday loans, you know, and repayment is taken directly from the salary before the borrower even receives their money. So how much is risk? Now, because they're saying this is a higher risk, né? How much is risk really involved for the lenders? Eh? Because this is coming directly from their salary. How much is the risk? Is that one day the salary is not in? I don't see why this is actually, you know, I don't see why this is a risk, because it's coming from their salary. They are the one who paid first before actually a person, you know, they are the one, the loan is taken first before you get your money. How is this actually high risk? In reality, I think the lender is protected. Yeah? The lender is protected. The money is deducted automatically from the salary. That means the borrower carries most of the burden. Yeah? It's the borrower that carries most of the burden. While the lender actually face a little risk. They don't face a risk. There is a risk, but it's unlikely that the salary doesn't come in. Well, for some companies, it's true. Oh, so some companies, very true. Yeah. But it is the lender actually face a little risk. Yeah. Now, think about this, okay? A government worker earning maybe, let's say, for example, 8,000, 10,000, 12,000 a month. Eh? It takes out a loan just to cover basic living cost. You understand? When you're taking a loan, it's just to cover basic living cost. So the lender charges high interest, knowing the repayment will be taken directly from the salary. So now, by the time deductions are made, the workers is actually left with very, very little money to survive on. So what happened next? Eh? What happened next? And normally this is the cycle. What happened next? They go back and take more loan just to get through the next month. They go back, get the loan again, just for you to get through the next month. And then the cycle repeats itself. Yeah? So that's why you find most of these people find themselves in just constantly. You go just your salary deduction comes in. There's a deduction that man. You go to the law. You find yourself in that cycle. Yeah? That's why many people say this is no longer financial support. Yeah? It's no longer financial support. It's a cycle that keeps people trapped. So yeah, and. Now, think about someone you know. Eh? Think about someone you know, a colleague, a family member, or let's not go far away, even maybe yourself. How often does month end arrive and you already know the money will not be enough? Eh? So you already know the money won't be enough. Eh? I'm not talking about winning my own. So, and how often do people take... one loan just to pay off another. Eh? Yeah, so I think I would have loved actually to hear from you in terms of this, but it's almost 10 already. So, yeah, there have been there are a couple of things that I wanted to talk about on this, but yeah, but that's what is going on. That's what is going on. I think the reason why this matter, maybe just give me, Mr. Franz, give me just 5 minutes. You know, now some of you might thinking, is this a civil servant problem? Why should, maybe you are a private person and care? Why I care if I work in a private sector? You know, let me tell you why. Okay, civil servant make up a huge portion of Namibian former workforce. They make up the huge Namibia's former workforce. Now, they are the teachers who educate our children. They are the nurses who care for us when we are sick. So, and talk about the police who keep our streets safe. So when they are drowning in debt, it affects all of us. Yeah? It affects all of us. A teacher who is stressed about money is not giving your child their best. Yeah? He's not giving your child their best. So a nurse who is working 3 jobs to pay off loan is not at their at their sharpest. Talking about that, about nurse, when they are not at their sharpest, that you are now in danger. Yeah? So they are not at their sharpest when life depends on it, you know? So it is. And there's an even a bigger economic picture. Yeah? When a significant portion of the workforce is trapped in a cycle of debt prepayment, they are not spending money in the local economy. You understand? They are not buying from the small businesses in their neighborhood. They are not saving from their future. You know? They are not saving for their future. Yeah? They are not investing. Every dollar that goes to the micro lenders in an interest payment is a dollar that is not actually circulating in our economy. So this is not just a personal finance story, but this is a national economy story. Yeah? You know, consider when a parent are trapped in debt, okay, their children sees it. Their children grow up in a household where there is never enough. You know? So where the conversation at the dinner table is always, you know, so it's always about money. Eh? Or the lack of it. Eh? So the dream has to be postponed. Eh? Now the dreams have to be postponed because the budget cannot stretch. Eh? So we are raising a generation of Namibians who will enter adulthood already shaped by financial anxiety. Eh? They're already shaped by financial anxiety. That has a psychological impact, and that is not the foundation we want for our our country's future. So, let's end up here. But you see, you can see the direction. You can see the direction, and the committee is looking at that. Is doing consultations with other institutions. I think will continue. Actually, been continuing this week if what they planned is continued, which is actually a positive step. So hopefully that the consultation may lead to some real actions. All right, so let me end up here before Tate Franz, you know, say, hey, you know, it's almost time. All right, so that's where we end this morning. And thanks for those who took place, who participate on the show. This is your show. Definitely, this is meant for you to come through and give us what is happening. So we want to hear. Most of the time, we want to hear what is going on. We bring you some stories. Sometimes you only when you hear what if these are things that are happening in your communities or even your expertise in some of the areas when it's come to oil and gas. Yeah. So yeah. All right, from me, Mike, let me wish you a very pleasant day ahead. And until we meet again, it's a bye from me.